Good morning, everybody. Hey, can we put our hands together, honor Jesus together? Come on, he's been so good to us. Hey, if I don't know you, my name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors around here. Just want to say welcome to all of you watching online. Do you guys know that this month alone, over 20 people have said yes to Jesus at Cultivate? Come on. I don't ever want to miss an opportunity to honor Jesus and what he's doing here at Cultivate Church. And I know it's been said, as we get ready for Easter in 2 weeks, I hope you're ready for Easter and you're already inviting somebody. Look, there's some ladies buying clothes right now. They don't know where they're going other than to grandma's, and they need a place to wear the new dress, the new outfit, whatever. So start inviting today. Bring somebody to church. This is the one opportunity of the year. They'll come to church on Easter when they won't go to church anywhere else, and that's okay. We want to provide a place for them to be able to do it. So we are adding 11:30 here, and some of you guys are sitting a little tight next to some people, a little uncomfortable, so we're making more room for more people. So with Easter, we're starting 11:30, and we'll continue 11:30. That means that some of you who are sort of awake right now, maybe by 11:30, you'll be good and awake. That's all right. So you can come and be a part of 11:30. So I'm excited about that. Hey, I want you to grab your outline out of your worship guide, digital note takers. It's on your app. It's available for all of you online. We're in week 3 of this series, If You Know, You Know. And this whole series has been about encouraging us, equipping us, challenging us, convicting us to share what Jesus has done in our lives with other people that's around us. Some of us think that when we have a relationship with Jesus and we meet Jesus and he changes our life, that that's where it ends. That that's just, hey, God saved me and now I'm waiting for my corner of heaven. You know, a little cabin in the corner of heaven. They used to say that when I grew up in church. I don't know why anybody's wanting a cabin in heaven. Come on, I heard there was mansions. I want a mansion, baby. I mean, I can get a cabin today. I want a mansion when I get to heaven. And so, but that's not what God ever intended for us to do. He wanted to have what happened in us to happen through us, to go out and change the world that's around us. So this whole series has been wrapped around helping us do that. In week 1, we just simply asked the question, does anybody even know about the faith that you have in Jesus? When you met Jesus, do people around you know that you've experienced life change? And then last week, we talked about the people that are around us, the specific people that need to know about Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about how we just live it out with our life. But today, we're going to talk about the very specifics about how we take the message of Jesus to people that's around us, like the nuts and bolts, the practicality of how do we do it. But this entire series is out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and here's what it says. You are the light of the world. And I think you ought to underline that word you, because that makes it personal. That lets you know that it's not just the preacher on the platform. It's not just the Sunday school teacher. It's not the small group leader. It's every one of us. You. It is personal to us all. We are the light of the world. We're like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. But instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In other words, it is for everyone to know what Jesus has done for you. This, if you know, you know, it's an inside communication between you and somebody else. It's excluding other people. And we want to be inclusive. We want everybody to be a part of the faith that we have. And so today, I titled your message, Influencer. Because every one of you in this room, believe it or not, you're influencers. You were influencers before influencers were cool. See, some of you remember, some of us are old enough to actually remember a day before this stuff existed. Some of us actually watched the evolution of social media. We remember a day when there was no social media. And some of you are going, man, you guys are old. No, we're not. It's not been out that long. How many of you remember MySpace? Come on, MySpace, baby. That was it right there. You bedazzled your page. You had your playlist, come on, your top 10 list. And if somebody removed you from the top 10 list, you sat in shock with tears coming down your face and then anger welling up inside of you. How dare they? If we can't be friends online, we're not going to be friends in real life. Now, I'm just going to tell you, MySpace is where it was at. Some of you don't even know young people, younger people. I'm still young people, right? We're still young people. And then Facebook came along. I went kicking and screaming to Facebook because you couldn't bedazzle Facebook. It was boring, but we all ended up there anyway. And then I remember when people started saying, for a career, I'm going to be an influencer. Like, you're going to be a what? Get a job. Like, right? Get out of your mama's basement and go get a job. Get off the computer, get off your phone. Well, joke's on me. Grown men, 50 years old, playing video games for a living. Joke's on me. I mean, what do I know? We got all these people out here influencing. But let me tell you this, some of us, even though you may think you're an influencer, come on, ladies, 15 photos, get that one, you post it, 4 likes. But boy, it was worth it, wasn't it? Because it looks good, right? We think that we're influencers in that space, but we're not superficial influencers. We're influencers for eternity. See, before influencing was cool or before it was a social thing, every one of us, we have influence in our life. Every one of us are influenced and we influence. Now, whether you believe that or not, God's called you and equipped you to have influence in the lives of other people. And it starts, it's just automatic. I noticed it in my 7-year-old just last week. He was in a school choir production, a patriotic production where they sang these patriotic songs, and he was pumped about it. He'd been singing, you know, patriotic songs all month long. I mean, just pumped about it. He said, "Dad, I'm excited, but my stomach kind of hurts because I'm nervous too." I said, "Buddy, you're going to do fine. You're going to be good." And he got selected to have a speaking part in this production. And I said, "Oh, bud, you got this." And then I saw the paragraph, and I thought, "Oh, God, we better practice this." They got a lot of faith in you, buddy, because some of you know we've been taking this journey of a little stutter that has you know, come out of nowhere, and we got this stutter. And you know, we're very, you know, open in our house. I said, "Buddy, we got to work on this, because you can't get up there and be like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." I said, "We can't do that, pal." I said, "We're going to have to really work on this." He said, "I got it, Dad." And so he starts reading his part, and he said, "Speaker 21, the majestic bird." I said, "No, buddy, you don't say Speaker 21. You are Speaker 21. You don't, okay, Dad, I got it. The majestic bird." And I mean, I was amazed because immediately he had it. I said, "Okay, man, we're ready for this." And so he'd get up out of bed, you know, get crust in his eyes. I said, "Speaker 21, the majestic bird." I mean, he was like, he had it. You could catch him at any moment. He had it. But when we got there the night of the production, I happened to notice that as the kids start going up to the microphone to do their speaking parts, they had little slips of paper in their hands. I said, "What are we doing with paper? Like, why can't we get these kids to do something? Why we got to give crutches everywhere? Sink or swim, here we go, you know." But they've all got these papers in their hand. I said, "Buddy, you ready for this?" He said, "Yeah, Dad." He said, "The only problem I've got is," he's, "Dad, I can't reach the microphone, Dad. Everybody's taller than I am." I said, "Well, bud, get used to it. It's how we roll in our family." I said, "You just walk up there, you lower that thing down, and you just speak, Val." And so I start noticing these kids walk up there, and they got these papers, and they start, "Today, we would like to welcome you." And I thought, what? No, 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 no. And so I lock eyes. I said, "Don't you read that." He's up there just, you know, he's so excited. "Don't you read that paper." He don't have a clue what I'm saying. He gets up there, so I'm watching him. And he gets to the microphone, and he stands up, does this because the mic's up here, and he looks at the paper, and then he looks down. I said, "Okay, he's not going to read it." And he said, "The majestic bird." And at that point, I'm torn, because some of you have been crushed. Somebody has set, you're proud, and somebody crushed you. So I'm 50-50 on this thing. So I said, "Hey, buddy, I'm really proud of you. I know you were nervous, and you didn't stutter. Man, you did so good." He said, "Yeah, Dad." I was, you know, he's so proud of himself. So 50% there. Then I said, "But why'd you read the paper?" I said, "You knew it." And this is what he said. "Well, Dad, when we got there, everybody had a paper. And I didn't want to do anything that everyone else wasn't doing." Nobody told him to read that paper. He didn't have to read that paper, but the influence of everything happening around him said, "I better get in line and read the paper." Every single one of us, regardless if you're aware of it, if you're intentional with it, or even if you know it, you are influencing someone and you are being influenced by someone. And we are called as representatives of Jesus to be a light that shines bright, to be an influence and a witness. And today, I want to give us very, very practical ways that we can begin to live this out. Leaving this room today, wherever you are online, to go and to share what Jesus has done for you. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging us. God, thank you for giving us this great responsibility to be influencers. And not for things that will pass away on this earth, but God, to influence for eternity. God, equip us today. Help us to have your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. These influencers, they live their life in the public. They're open access. So there's the four things today that I want to give you that you need to open your life to in order to be able to be influencers for what matters the most. And the first thing is this, write this on your outline, is you need to open your heart. You need to open up your heart. One of the reasons, if we want to be brutally honest today, some of you don't want to be, but we're going to be, the reason that we don't have this is because it's not in our heart to do it. We don't wake up every day with a burden on our heart for people that don't know Jesus. We don't wake up every day with a burden on our heart for people that will spend eternity away from God because they don't know what we know and haven't experienced what we've experienced and decided what we've decided. This has to become something that is burning from deep within inside of our heart. The Bible says this, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And pray for us too that God will give us many, underline this word, opportunities. Pray for us to have opportunities to what? Underline this, to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That's why I'm here in chains. Wait a second. This guy's riding in from chains, imprisonment, punishment for speaking about Jesus, for representing Jesus. And yet he says, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Not pray for us that we can be set free. Pray for us that we'll get out of these chains. Pray for us that we'll be free. Pray for us that this suffering will start. No, pray for us that we will continue to share this message with others who are around us. Why? Because it was the beating of his heart. It was ingrained in who he was. There was nothing more important in his life than influencing other people for Christ. Now, many of us, when we get ready to pray, we ain't praying that way. We're praying for the miracle. God, shake the walls so they come tumbling down. Loosen the chains with that power, God, and set me free. He said, no, I'm good with chains. Just let me keep talking. Let me keep speaking. Let somebody else hear it. But let me lift a little pressure off your shoulders because some of you are feeling bad. Oh, I'm a bad Christian. We're born selfish. That's what started sin. We have this easy ability to think about ourselves. You get up every day thinking, I hope this is a good day. I hope I'm on time. I hope I don't sit by that person. I hope they don't talk to me. I hope I can just get through the day. We think about ourselves. The top prayers listed by some people that people pray, these are real prayers that people pray. Maybe you're guilty of this. People pray to win the lottery. Ever prayed that prayer? Yeah, we're that church. There's somebody you know you have. Somebody here said, sweetheart, we need to spend some time together. You want to take a road trip to the state line, to a gas station? We'll fast on the way. We'll get lunch off the little roller in the gas station. You know what I'm saying? We'll get you a corn dog. You know somebody prays. Some of you watching them lottery ball numbers. That somebody is. You ever prayed to find a parking space? Granny drove slow all the way here, but she's speeding in the parking lot to get to that parking space. Some of you got two good legs and you're trying to beat Granny. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God, give me a parking space. What about for success in something that you've put no effort into? We got teenagers in here. They're praying to pass some tests. They've never opened a book. Some of you praying for a promotion and you get to work late and leave early. I'm just saying. We pray for our sports teams to win. Oh, man. You've never been so close to Jesus than when it's college football season. Oh, St. Nick's leaving. Oh, God. If you let St. Nick stay just one more year, I'll go to a hut in Africa, God. We can't do it without him. Come on. Some of you prayed those prayers. Some of you pray for celebrities. Y'all watching them celebrity breakups? You buying them magazines? You're crying tears. They were destined. I mean, come on. What do they last, 2 weeks? That's like the... Like if a celebrity's married 2 weeks, like in dog years, that's like 50. You know what I'm saying?
How about you pray you won't get caught speeding every time you get in the car? We passed a cop last Sunday coming home from Columbiana. My son said, Dad, remember that time you got pulled over? You've prayed it. You ever pray that somebody else would get fired? Yes, get quiet. In Jesus' name, let them lose this job. Amen. We pray for all kind of stuff. And if we're honest, a lot of times those prayers, they're inward focused. They're focused on us. But it's not very often that we pray that God would put a burden on our lives for other people. That's another level of praying. But what if God put that burden on my life, almost to do something like live life on purpose, to go out and to share? I love this quote by Mother Teresa. She said, I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or do this or to do that. But now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do. I used to pray for answers, but now I pray for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us and we change things. Man, isn't that true? We're praying for things to happen and God's like, I put you there. You are the change. You just have to have the burden for it. Pray that God would give you the burden. Pray that God would prepare you for what to say with the burden, what to do with it. And pray that God would give you opportunities for it. Pray that God would give you the heart. Open your heart to it. Number two, open your eyes. Say, well, I just never see a chance. I just don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Well, here's what Jesus says. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Jesus says, you don't have to try hard. Just wake up, look around, live with intent, intentionality, life on purpose. Every interaction of your life, look for it. It's there. Most of us, look, if we were going to go on a cross-country trip today, we have a few options on how we could do that. Probably the first, the easiest, the most convenient would be to what? Take an airplane, right? You go through the hassle of getting to the plane, but once you get on it, as long as the wings don't fall off or it explodes like it's happening today, I don't know what we're doing. But if we can get on that plane safely, we can fly to where we're going. We can save some time. We can save some hassle. But you don't see much on an airplane. I mean, once you've seen the clouds, you've seen the clouds. You don't see a lot of the country. So if you really want to see something, maybe you take a train. I met a lady a few months back traveling. She had taken a train. I said, for real? Tell me about that. You could take a car. Now, if you want to really test a relationship, get in a car and go across country. Save yourself the trouble. Watch National Lampoon Vacation. Just put them on the roof, okay? That's probably you're probably going to experience more. But if you want to get every single ounce of the experience out of it, walk. Because when you walk, you feel it. When you walk, you smell it. When you walk, you touch it, you feel it. You experience all there is to experience when you walk it. The reason that we don't see opportunities is because we get up every day and in our personal lives, we board a plane. And all we get of other people's lives is an aerial view because we don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to be involved. We just want to get to work, mind our business, and get home and get ready for the weekend. And this aerial view doesn't touch anybody. But Jesus says, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. See, the farther that we get removed from hopelessness, the easier that it is to forget the feeling. And when you remember the feeling of where you've been, when you can experience that, you want to help rescue somebody that's around you. My encouragement to us is to put yourself in a position where you experience it. One of the greatest blessings over the last few months, we've been in the Shelby County Jail. And that's one of those things nobody goes on purpose, right? You want to skip right over that place.
But can I tell you, when you go in and you sit down and you shake the hand and you hug the neck of somebody who's paying for something that they've done wrong, but you hear the story of what happened before they got in trouble, you hear the story of abuse, and you hear the story of the way they were raised and the way they were taught and the things that's happened to them, you begin to see things a little differently. It does not excuse the action that they've taken or the consequence that comes, but you begin to understand the hopelessness a little bit more than you did when you cast judgment just because of what you saw. It's easier to cast judgment when you're up in the air and you're looking down at everything else of what should have been done and what could have been done and what. But when you get right in the middle of it and you begin to experience it, your heart begins to change. And so my prayer is that God would open our heart and that God would open up our minds. And then number three, that God would open up your hands. Because see, at this point, you can pray for God to shape your heart. And then you can actually look around and begin to see it. But it's not until you open your hands and begin to do something does it begin to make a change. The Bible says, in the same way, let your good, underline this word, deeds. Deeds means you're doing something. Let those shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You say, well, I don't want to be braggadocious with my, I don't want to go out and just try to be the savior to the world, so I'm just going to keep it to myself. No, the Bible says go do something and let everybody see what you do. Put it on social media when you do something good. You say, well, I'm a little more modest than that. No, you don't let them see you do it because you're good. You let them see you do it because the God in you is good and he's the motivation for why you did it. And without God, where would you be? But because of him, you're a blessing to somebody else. Because the goal is by what we do, people are able to see who he is and what he's done. That's the beauty of opening your hands and going and serving somebody. So I don't even know where to begin. Well, there's a connect card in your worship guide and it is filled with things you can do. Right here in the safety of this place, you can do something. Very easy to do something. Your deeds should shine in this building to the lives of people who walk in this place. And then when you get to work, you should be shining and be known for something other than a bad attitude. Get creative. Believe it or not, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about offering a bribe as a good thing. Go bribe your way to Jesus. When we planted this church, Dawson and I went and bought these cargo vans with cages in the back, and we contracted ourselves as independent contracted couriers. And we worked through this business in Birmingham. And they would supply work of things that needed to go. And you worked and got paid when you took a job of whatever was coming in. And there were a lot of people sitting around like truckers waiting on jobs to do. And I said, well, I ain't got time to sit around. I've got to work. I said, so how do we get in front of the line? And Dawson, his wisdom, he said, food. Dawson knew, food. So taking his cue, we went and we bought food. And we showed up to that office with food. And we said, hey, we've got some food. And you know what everybody did? Spun them chairs around. We just want to give it to you. Why? Just want to be a blessing. We're new around here, and we're glad to be here. This job's a blessing to us because we're planting a church, and this is flexible, and this is providing us to be able to do what we're called to do. And you know who they gave them jobs to first? They traded the jobs for them biscuits. We never had to go without. God took care of us. It was just a blessing. And you know what? They all knew what we were there to do. And every time we walked in, they wanted to know about the church. And they wanted to know how it was going. And they wanted to know what it was all about. And you know what? Just so happens that in that office, when there was a problem, somebody was struggling with something, didn't even know what prayer was, you know what they say? Hey, preacher, you think you could pray for me? I'm having this trouble. And I said, you know what? We can pray right here. God gave so. You know why? Biscuits. You expect something super spiritual, right? No. Biscuits. That's all it takes. Some of us are waiting on, I got to know the Bible. I got to be able to know theology. I got to be able to explain what happened to the dinosaurs. What if they ask me where the dinosaurs are? What if they ask me where God came from before Adam and Eve? What if they want to know, do they have belly buttons? I don't know what to say. Don't say a word. Just hand them biscuits. Open your hands and let God use you. Show the love of Christ. Let it get in your heart to be a passion. Look for the opportunities everywhere you go, and then do something to be a blessing. And then last, number four, open your mouth. Public speaking is the number one fear for most people. Please don't make me say anything. Please. But here's what the Bible says. If someone asks you about your hope that you have as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Let me give it to you this easy. Here it is. Before Jesus, I was hopeless. I was in depression. I was in guilt, shame. I was in addiction. I didn't have self-esteem. I didn't feel self-worth. Whatever it is for you, before Jesus, this is where I was. But I met Jesus. And suddenly, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like all that pressure, all that stress, all that shame, all that guilt, all that desire, it's like God just lifted it from me. And today, I'm not exactly who I want to be, and I have good days and I have bad days. Some days I'm full of faith, and some days I feel like I'm starting over. Some days I get it right, and then some days I have to say I'm sorry. But you know what? In all of my days, since the moment I met Jesus, He has been here with me every step of the way. And He can do the same thing for you. That's as simple as it gets. God made it, we broke it, and Jesus fixed it. The gospel is so simple. Don't get in the crowd and feel like you have to have a crutch. Don't get with your family that doesn't understand or doesn't believe. Don't get with that crowd that talks this way or would belittle you because you have a faith in Jesus or because you're a Christian or because it's not culturally popular. But just say, God, I want your heart. And your heart's for people. And everybody, before we get too presumptuous, it's for all people. All people. No matter where they've been, no matter where they've been. It doesn't matter. All people, give me your heart for all people. God, I pray that you would open my eyes so that I can begin to see people. I can see past the smile. I can see past their actions. That I can see the opportunity to make a difference. God, open my hands that I would serve somebody this week. God, open my mouth that I would be able to share what you've done for me. Because the goal is to take as many people to eternity with us. And it comes through your influence. So I want to pray that God would give us that today. Will you bow your head, close your eyes? And if you're our guest today, nothing weird or funny is going to happen. Nobody's coming to get you to make you stand or anything. Our team's going to come back and they're going to play softly. I'm just going to pray for us. For those of you online, I would just ask that if you can limit distraction, let this be a moment between you and God. And here's my prayer today. Number one, you may be in this room and you go, you know what? I recognize that I've never had that moment where I could say, I met Jesus and my life has been changed. Maybe that's you online and you say, I've never had that moment. I can't identify a time in my life that was before Jesus and after Jesus. Well, the good news is that today, I want to pray for you to be able to give you that opportunity. And then for every one of us who would say that we are followers of Christ, that we represent Jesus, I just want us to begin at step one, asking God to give us His heart. Some of us have been flying at an aerial view, and God's asking us to walk a little bit, to take our time. And listen, every struggle, every obstacle, there is the promise that what the enemy meant for harm, God's going to use for good. And it may very well just be that your circumstance and your situation for you today is that God is going to bring glory out of it to be a blessing to somebody else. And he's going to carry you all the way through it to the other side. You just have to see it. So God, today, it's my prayer, God, that for any of us that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, God, that you'd forgive us of any sin. We have all messed it up. There's not a one of us walking this thing perfectly. But because of you, we've been saved and set free. So God, without any hesitation for any of us in this room or online that doesn't have that relationship with you, today we confess our sin and we choose to follow you. We thank you for salvation and for forgiveness. And God, I pray for all of us today, regardless if we're new in our faith or we've been following you our entire lives, God, that today we would have your heart, that we would feel what you feel. God, that we would see what you see, that we'd want to do what you do and speak what you would want to speak. God, give us the burden today for your sons and your daughters to make a difference that would last for eternity. Jesus, use us. We make ourselves available to you. And may heaven grow because of the influence that we have in our lives as we all live as influencers for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, everybody. Let's celebrate Jesus today, can we?
If you made a decision to say yes to Jesus today on the Connect card we spoke about earlier, there's a place where you can check, I'm committing my life to Christ, and we'd encourage you to do that for several different reasons. The first being, we want to be able to celebrate that with you. We also want to pray for you. We want to send you some information on some next steps, because this is the greatest decision that you're ever going to make, but it's not the finish line at all. It's just the beginning to it all. It's just the beginning to the greatest journey you're ever going to go on, and we want to be here for you, where if you have needs, if you've got questions, listen, you just have a day where you just feel like, man, I don't know what I'm doing, and you need people to lean on. We want to be here for you every single step of the way, because listen, the reality is that I can't change the world, and you by yourself can't change the world. But if enough of us get together, just have this idea that, hey, I'm not going to change the world, but I'm going to change my world and the people in my world. And if we lock arms and we do that together, there is nothing that God can't do. That together we can make a huge impact for the kingdom of God, and that's what it was all about. So listen, if you made that decision today, please mark that down on the Connect card before you leave. We're going to transition now to a moment of giving. And while we do that, I just want to remind everybody that Easter, it's 2 weeks away. I know it's a little crowded in here. That 11:30 option will be there. And we'll be there every single Sunday after. And then also want to invite everybody, Good Friday, night of worship, both here at our Alabaster campus and our Columbiana campus. Man, it's going to be an amazing weekend where, again, people who wouldn't normally come to church, man, they'll be here, and it's just our opportunity just to let them know and see the love of Jesus. But listen, if you're here today and you're our guest, we don't anticipate you giving anything today. In fact, we'd say don't give anything today. That's for those of us who call Cultivate Church home. But if you are new to giving around here, there's several easy ways up on the screens for you to be able to do that. And we just want to say thank you for being so generous with our resources, to being obedient, what the Bible teaches us about our resources. You know, this moment every single week reaches so many people. It made such a huge impact for the kingdom of God that it's not just about the people within Cultivate Church or Shelby County, but you are impacting people all over the world who wouldn't have their basic needs met if it were not for the generosity of Cultivate Church. And this is just our opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's just our opportunity where if there's a need out there, hey, we're able to be there to step up and meet that need, because whenever we model that after Jesus, he doesn't meet a spiritual need until he meets a physical need first. Well, this is our opportunity to meet the needs of people, not for us, but for him. And just so they will know that it is all because of Jesus. It's just an honor that we get to do that together. If you'll stand with me, we'll pray over our giving as we dismiss today. God, we love you. And we're just so thankful for all that you're doing and thankful we get to be a part of it. God, I just pray over our giving. Pray we will steward it well. It'll be used to meet the needs of people all over the world, just so people can know who you are. And God, this week, God, today, tomorrow, this week, God, we're just praying for the opportunity
No matter where it is, no matter where we stand, whether it's at work, at school, at the baseball park, at the grocery store, at Walmart, God, we don't care. Just pray for all of us to have the opportunity to share what you've done for us so we can be a light in the middle of the darkness. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great week.